It is 10 past 8. It's time to talk health matters. And we talk to Kinza from the Heart and Stroke Foundation, talking today about vitamins and minerals. Kinza, very good morning. Welcome to the show on this Tuesday morning.
Good morning, Wendy, and your listeners.
And Kinza, getting straight into it, we all think that we know this, but perhaps it's good to start off by asking exactly what are vitamins and minerals in the context of our diets?
Yes, so just as we have our major, you know, food groups, which we call macronutrients, like proteins, carbohydrates, fats, we have also our micronutrients under which our vitamins and minerals fall. Mm-hmm. And basically, they are needed by our body to carry out a range of normal functions. And these micronutrients are not produced in our bodies, and they have to be derived from the food we eat. So vitamins are organic substances which we either classify them as fat-soluble or water-soluble. Minerals, on the other hand, are inorganic elements, and they're present in soil, in water, and they're absorbed by plants or even consumed by animals. Mm-hmm. The common minerals we usually hear of are calcium, sodium, potassium, but there are a range of other minerals, such as our trace minerals, which are needed in very small amounts. And examples of these are our copper and zinc.
Okay. And that brings us to the question, is how many or how much vitamins and minerals do we require in our diet or in our body to function properly?
So there is a great science already in place to determine this. And mm-hmm. of course, many factors come into play, such as age, gender, whether you're pregnant and breastfeeding or not. All of this plays a role. Sometimes your requirements are increased as well, depending on your situation. Basically, there's something known as the dietary reference intake. And that's what determines how much we should be consuming. I can get into this, and it's very complicated, but there's lots of elements under the dietary reference intake, which we look at.
Okay.
Things like estimated average requirement, recommended dietary allowance. So it varies depending on your, as I said, your age, your gender, certain situations like being pregnant or not, There's a whole science of, especially just in South Africa, a lot of universities came together to make up a book to sort of establish how much you should be taking when it comes to these very important micronutrients.
And to sort of come up with some kind of standards that, you know, can be adopted
exactly.
And said, you know, this is what you need.
Yes.
Now, we hear about the phrases water-soluble vitamins and fat-solubles. Can you provide some clarity on the two? And, you know, what is the difference between the two types of vitamins?
Yes, so fat-soluble vitamins are your vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, and vitamin K. Essentially, they dissolve in fat and they tend to accumulate in the body, whereas water-soluble vitamins are all your other ones, your vitamin C, your B-complex vitamins, folate. These must dissolve in water before they can be absorbed by the body, and therefore they cannot be stored. That's the main difference between the two. And often at times we always say that in order to get the fat-soluble vitamins from the foods we eat, for example, carrots give us our vitamin A, it's always important to sort of pair it with a fat group so that you're getting that maximum absorption.
Right. And now, you know, you hear and see ads for supplements and things like that, but do we get or can we get enough minerals and vitamins from our foods that we eat, or do we need to look into supplementation? And I suppose that a lot depends on your diet.
Yes, so most people should get all the nutrients they need by having a varied, balanced diet. So that's why it becomes very important to educate yourself on which foods are high in which vitamins and minerals. And then further to this, as I mentioned, to get into a habit of pairing foods, like we spoke about the fat-soluble vitamins, with a good fat so that you get your absorption. And there's lots of, you know, different vitamins which require similar sort of method. So, for example, if you look at your vitamins, seafoods, it's important to eat it with when you if you want to get a maximum amount of iron in, to pair it with foods high in vitamin C, because vitamin C assists with the absorption of iron. So before we, say, okay, we're not getting enough, let's go into supplementation. First, make sure you know that which foods are high in those vitamins and minerals, and are you eating them? Are you pairing them with the right foods? And like we always say, supplementation is something that, you require a discussion with a healthcare professional before you decide, right, I'm deficient in this, let me go get your go straight into supplementations. Sometimes there's a medical condition that could be causing your deficiency, so you need to get to the root of it. And there are conditions where supplementation is recommended, such as pregnancy and lactation. But again, always important to consult with a healthcare professional. And I think we have mentioned this before. Now, certain vitamins, specifically your water-soluble vitamins, you know, your body only takes the amount that it needs. Any unused vitamins, water-soluble vitamins, will get lost through the urine. So a lot of the times you'll see the supplements are very high, have high dosages. You won't be getting extra benefit just because you're taking more of it. So there's a lot to think about before just diving right into those
So
supplements.
it's not a case of waking up one morning and decide I need supplements, because you need to know what you're actually needing, if you're needing anything at all. And of course, as you say, speak to your health professionals. Now, as the Heart and Stroke Foundation gets involved in topics like this, are vitamins and minerals supplements important to prevent heart disease?
So there have been lots of studies, looking into this, and they've shown no benefit of taking multivitamins in reducing deaths from heart disease. In fact, if we look at some guidelines from the American Heart Association, they state that supplements of vitamins should not be taken to prevent heart disease. Not only do they not help, there's even suggestion that taking vitamin E supplements may slightly raise the risk of heart failure. So it's also been found that too much calcium and vitamin D are also associated with an increased risk of heart disease. That's not to alarm anyone to think, oh my word, okay, I need to maybe go easy on the dairy now. If I have too much calcium, I might increase. It's more for the supplements that we're speaking about. So there isn't at the moment any study to say, right, you need to take these supplements and you'll be reducing your risk. There's other methods first to apply to reduce your risk of heart disease.
And talking about diets now, there's certain diets that have been proven to assist with heart disease, and one of these is the DASH diet, and this places emphasis on minerals in particular. And does this mean that if we don't follow this diet, we put ourselves at the risk of heart disease, or does it boil down to make sure that you actually are healthy and have a balanced diet, and you're pretty much almost there already?
So if we look at the DASH diet itself, it speaks about including foods we always, talk about that's good for our heart, like our whole grains, fruits, vegetables, plant proteins, all your good fats, and limiting those bad fats and added sugar foods. So if we just focus on achieving that as far as possible, then we'll be taking care of our heart and brain. When you eat a diet that's rich in fruits, vegetables, fish, whole grains, you don't get individual nutrients in isolation. Basically, you get a blend of vitamins as well as all the important macronutrients like your fiber and your healthy fat. And all of this has been shown to be beneficial for heart health. So it's not to say follow this diet and then, you'll be fine. It's just focusing on the foods, which foods to avoid and which varieties to include so that you're getting all those vitamins, minerals.
And Kinza, lastly, the Heart and Stroke Foundation has a lot of archive material and a lot of resource material. How can somebody access it, and how do they get in touch with you and the organization?
So a lot of resources on our website, that's www.heartfoundation.co.za. We also put a lot of our information on social media, that's Facebook and Instagram. And the public is also more than welcome to get in touch with us through our health chat line. And the number for that is 021-442-7000. 0800-422-1586.
Great. And of course, this chat will be on our website and I think on one of your channels as well. Just go to Heart and Stroke Foundation or wildcoastradio.co.za for more information. Kinza, thank you very, very much. Have a great week and looking forward to chatting again next week.
Thank you, and always a pleasure.
Cheerio then. That's Kinza Hussain from the Heart and Stroke Foundation chatting to us today about minerals and vitamins and the importance thereof and how to get them. Thanks very much to the Heart and Stroke Foundation. Getting back